Damn it, I completely forgot to start incriminating myself before you started recording.
It's too late now. Everything you say is on the record.
Are you a cop? You gotta tell me if you're a cop. Welcome back to another very special episode of The Streaming Heap. My name is Lynn. I'll be your host as usual. And I have here with me my co-host, Eric McGill.
Hello, I'm special.
You are special. And the reason this is a special episode is happy 4th of July, Eric, in your corner of the world where you guys are pretending to be a first world country we're celebrating.
Down with Britain.
The rest of us who are still... tied to the British Commonwealth, just call 4th of July the day the bloody colonials, former colonials, get rowdy. The colonies are rowdy today. Seriously, though, for those of you who celebrate, have a safe 4th of July. Don't blow up for your hand.
I did once almost... almost tear off my foot with a Roman candle once. So yeah, I've been there.
Roman candles are fun.
They are. I agree.
It's not like, don't do that lame crap where you stick it in the ground. It's fun to hold it as it goes.
You have to hold it. Yeah. That's kind of the whole point.
And you have to hold it, and you have to resist the urge to point it at your friends.
Oh, that's what I was doing wrong.
Sometimes the intrusive thoughts win.
I don't know. I'm a curmudgeonly old man now. I'm like, shut up. It's 10 o'clock. I need to sleep.
Look, if you'll let me get a little real for like 30 seconds, it is wild to me that your country, which has where smart people have a healthy fear of public shootings, are still celebrating with things that go bang a lot. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I live near St. Louis, and that's the gun violence capital of the country. So yeah, you hear bang, bang, bang outside. Maybe it's fireworks, maybe not. Or maybe like fireworks is the perfect cover, you know?
Dark, man. Dark. Before we lose all the listeners, let's say we're tackling the finale of season one of Silo today.
Silo!
I'm very excited to talk about it. But before that, we're going to do some housekeeping. We're going to keep it brief because we want to really dig into the finale today. But we will read out a little listener email. We've missed a couple of listener emails because the spam filter on our podcast email is just might as well be non-functional. It dumped a bunch of spam in the main feed all the time, and a lot of listener emails end up in the junk. Also, why does half of our spam think our name is Jason Ward? Who is Jason Ward? Usually spammers are scraping these names and details from somewhere, right? So why do they think a bunch of them... why do a bunch of them think our name is Jason Ward?
Maybe they're thinking of Robin. It's like a cross between Jason Todd and Burt Ward. Yeah.
Maybe. Look, we're not going to go super deep back into old ones we missed, but I do have...
So anyway, cracking foundation emails. Yeah.
I do have a couple from Linda, one of our regular listeners that I found very amusing.
That's just your alter ego. You like wear a dress and you're Linda. Yeah.
So they said... as they were listening to our podcast, I'm paraphrasing. they stopped to take a break to work on their Hawaiian vocabulary in the Drops app. And the two words that dropped as she take a break from our podcast is the word riot and the word rebel.
Fair.
And both of those images that are, that accompany this new word is people throwing Molotov cocktails.
The algorithm works.
In case you're wondering, and I'm going to butcher this, the word for, the Hawaiian word for riot is honele, and okay. The word for rebel is kipi. So, you know, a healthy desire to riot and throw Molotov cocktails is present in every culture. That's
as it should be.
Even the very relaxed ones like Hawaii. And also, Linda told a little story about watching Cursed Child on Broadway. And they watched one in San Francisco where they combined part one and part two into one showing. Apparently, that led to the actors just like kind of blazing through the Cursed Child.
On to like, the next scene, quick.
Yeah, 1.25 speed, super fast. And they want to know which form did you watch The Cursed Child? Like, was it broken into part one and part two for you, or?
I mean, it was. It was broken into part one and part two, and there was an intermission in between. So, like, we watched the whole thing, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. But it was technically one showing, though.
It was one showing, yeah. Okay. It was just one really long showing, yeah.
Okay. You didn't feel that your version was rushed at all?
Maybe a little bit, but it wasn't to a point that it bothered me. Like, there were times where, like, the dialogue was just, like, back and forth, shoot, where it wasn't very natural. But, I don't know, that's theater. I'm used to that.
Yeah. They also said they wouldn't mind if we did a deep dive of a Cursed Child. I'd be enough for that. Maybe if they finally get around to releasing that terrible idea of a reboot of Harry Potter. I mean, like, I still enjoy Harry Potter. Separate the art from the artist. But I think I've grown out of it. I don't think that's the right word, because I still enjoy it. It still have a place in my heart as something I grew up with. But I don't think I need new Harry Potter. I still want to go watch Cursed Child, though.
And also, yeah, I mean, like, Cursed Child is good because, like we talked about, it's already like an more adult story. I mean, it's from the adult point of view. So, yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't even say I don't think I need more Harry Potter. I think I don't. Exactly what I don't need is what they're planning, which is a reboot. Like, actually, if they spin off like something set in the Cursed Child era, I'm like, yeah, I'd watch that. Let's follow like the new generation of kids in that world. Yeah, I'd watch that. But yeah. Maybe we can do a Cursed Child thing one day. I'm actually seriously contemplating like flying out to Melbourne and watching Cursed Child before it went away. I think all the shows are sold out, though. But if I just want a single ticket, maybe I could wrangle it from somewhere. They suggest that I could fly to San Francisco and it can be a business expense. Very kind of you to describe what to do as a business. And also, I think to claim things back on expense, you need to be paying tax on the particular thing. And for that, we need to be making a living on the particular thing. And Linda had very kind words about our podcast and said they enjoy our insights on Silent. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Lynn. That's very nice. Or Linda, that's very nice of you.
And do anybody who want to write to us any kind words, any questions, want to talk to us more about Molotov cocktails and riots, the email is thestreamingheap@outlook.com, and that's thestreamingheap@outlook.com.
The problem is we want to riot about gas prices, but we can't afford gasoline to put in the Molotov cocktails.
Not the need to be gas.
It's true.
Particularly high proof alcohol will also work.
Yeah, but you know, that's a waste. That's a party foul.
Some for me, some for the cocktail.
There you go.
A cocktail for me and a different kind of cocktail for the 1%. I'm extra spicy today because it is quite late where I am. And I may have had a beer or two, so I apologize.
And you know, I'm high on Independence Day.
And also, as always, if you want to leave us a nice review, especially if you are listening to us on iTunes, that's much appreciated. No, not iTunes. What am I? 50?
Apple Podcasts.
Okay. There's a little bit of housekeeping we want to do as well about what we're doing, how we're doing next episode in a special way. Do you want to tell our listeners?
Yeah, we've decided we're going to do a live stream on my YouTube channel, which is at the Unapologetic Geek, the Unapologetic Geek on YouTube. And what we're going to do is my Friday night, Lynn's Saturday morning. So depending on where you are, it's going to be 6:30 Eastern time, which is where I am, and 9:30. I don't know what time you're in, but somewhere in Australia time.
Brisbane time. But look, just look up 6:30 Eastern time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And walk back.
Calibrate it yourself. And we're just going to talk about Cracking Foundation, or not Cracking Foundation. That was our podcast. We're going to talk about Foundation season one, recap it a little bit, and answer any questions you guys might have. So, you know, come join the conversation. It'll be fun. I'll release that as a podcast afterwards.
We're going to discuss it. We're going to discuss all the things we know about season two already as well, like all the news, some of the set photos, probably not too much if it looked like spoilers and stuff. But remember, I haven't read any of the books and Eric isn't allowed to do.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to talk about the books, and I will do a good job of not doing that.
Yeah, he did for the first season as well. So it's going to be like us gathering all the resources we have, remembering season one and just getting ourselves hyped up for season two. So come join us on the journey live if you can, because then you can interact with us and ask us questions. But you will also be able to listen to it in our regular podcast form, like Eric said.
Yeah.
Say the name of your YouTube channel.
Eric. Oh, yeah. The Unapologetic Geek. That's me.
Okay. We'll also put a link in the description, of course.
Okay, yeah, and if you're having trouble figuring out what time it is, just go to my YouTube channel. There'll probably already be a link up on the YouTube channel telling you when it's coming, and it'll be calibrated to your time zone.
Yeah, excellent. I'm very excited for that, actually.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah. I'm going to have to watch what I say a lot more now that I don't have the luxury of saying, Eric, edit that one. 30 minutes in, I get your YouTube channel banned.
Yes, we will have to be a little more PG. It'll be hard, but we'll do it.
30 minutes in, I'm like, burn it all down. Okay, well, so let's take a little break so we can get our claws into the final episode of Silo, episode 10 of season 1. Woohoo! I don't know if you can tell from my voice, but I'm excited. All right. See you in a minute.
Yep.
Welcome back, Eric.
Yes, that's me.
Let's talk about silos.
Woo! Silos.
I mean silo. Or should we call it silo into the siloverse?
There you go.
I have 1,000 of these. I'll spread it out. What's that story of James Cameron pitching aliens by writing alien on the board and then adding an S? And then turning it into a dollar sign.
This is how we're going to do season two.
Silos. Okay. Let's start with the vibe check. Are you happy with the season finale?
I am. I mean, like, yeah. I mean, yes, I am happy with it. I'm left with a lot of questions, but I think that's probably a good thing.
I have some nitpicks.
Yeah, I do too.
But that's how we are, you know?
Yep.
It will be a bad podcast if it's just us gushing over something for an hour. But yeah, it was really good. And you know what I really appreciated? It's a lot of TV shows seem to think a finale has to be like just running around. You know, a lot of running around, high tension, people punching people. This season finale really take some time to get some character moments. And it really slows down in the middle, but it doesn't really feel like the tension is gone. Like, it slows down and keep the tension, you know?
Yeah, even the climax is kind of like methodical, and it's like it's letting you see the like poetry of the moment, which I think is pretty cool.
Yes, that slow step.
Yep.
Juliet goes up the silo ramp, really captured the tone of this episode. I appreciate it. Storytelling in this series have been, but the not just the storytelling, what am I trying to get at is the rhythm in of the storytelling in this series has been overall really good. It kind of remind me of like classic early Battlestar Galactica, where like some episodes would be like, hey, you're just gonna be like stressed out for the next 45 minutes, enjoy, you know.
yeah.
All right, well, let's recap the episode first. It starts with Juliet ruining a couple more people's lives. This time, Patrick and Danny, by roping them into, I mean, she already roped them in. She plugged in that device in Patrick's house and make Danny link it, knowing full well that it's going to attract all the feds. And then at the first time of travel, you're like, she's like, you go that way, I'll go this way, we'll split up. Hey, if you suspect you don't have main character energy, and if somebody say, we'll split up, it'd be harder for them to catch us. Don't split up. You're going to be the one that gets caught. And Patrick, you don't have main character energy.
And this was like right after they both, all three of them were in the hallway and they're like, look over there, there's the camera. And they all look directly into the camera. So yeah, they're all screwed.
Yeah. Before we get too deep into it, just a quick recap. This reveals that Juliet has been using the rubbish chute to be getting around. I don't know why they held it until now, though. They could have just told us earlier. When they finally found out, she took a little swan dive down to the bottom level.
And broke her back, and she's dead now. Yeah.
Judicial catch up to her and gave her a choice to, you know, pretty much silently die. Otherwise, her loved ones will suffer.
Right.
And maybe she could potentially spark a riot in the silo. And we know Juliet, for all her curiosities and rebelliousness, does believe in the good of the silo.
And she does actually care for her fellow human beings, yeah.
Yes. And so she makes the obvious choice. And then, of course, she climbed up out of the silo into the Siloverse.
The Siloverse of madness, yes.
So that is essentially the season finale of season one. And for, let's start, let's say up top, for people who are wondering how much, what portions of their books this season cover, it is apparently just half of book one.
Oh, okay.
Will be this. Yeah. Hugh Howery confirmed it as well. I mean, like, anybody who read the books can confirm it. But Hugh Howery confirmed it, that second season will be the rest of book one. So we potentially get six seasons out of this. Woo-hoo. If this trend is to continue. Six seasons and a movie.
And apparently this season's doing really, really well. So yeah, we'll see more. I mean, we know season two is coming, but it looks like the show has legs.
Yeah. Yes. Look, six season is a big ask in the current streaming environment. But if any streaming platform will do it, it will be Apple TV.
And that makes me happy because honestly, Apple's killing it with science fiction TV shows lately. Like, you've got Severance, you've got Foundation, and now you got this. And like, they're all bangers. They're all good.
You didn't mention Peripheral in there.
Peripheral is a show, yeah.
Peripheral the show, and we did watch it. Look, we enjoyed
parts of it. Wasn't that bad. I just like ragging on it.
Peripheral kind of made us really turned around on how harsh we were on Foundation.
It's true.
Okay, well, and also I should mention every single book reader have said people suggesting if they should just start reading from second half of the book, of the first book, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Of course that's a bad idea.
Of course it's always a bad idea.
So, you know, just read the books from the beginning if you feel like reading the books. Anyway, so let's start with the beginning scene where, you know, Juliet ruined Patrick's and Danny's life.
Yeah, Danny obviously knew, and she obviously knew, Juliet obviously knew, but poor Patrick, he's like, wait, what?
He really wanted that watch.
And then she didn't even give him the watch in the end. That was the big fuck you at the end. He's like, well, what about the watch? And she's like, are you kidding? That watch has too much sentimental value. There's no way. Yeah.
He can't look at that watch where he's going in the mines.
Yeah, maybe we will see the mines next season. That'd be fun. See all these characters in the mines together.
So they make a run for it, and we learn that she's been using trash chutes to run around. Didn't they say the trash chutes are being used like essentially all day long? Like different floor rotate through different time, but every single because of that, like there's stuff coming down in every like.
Yeah, you get the impression that there's always something going down. Like the red lights are just for the individual floor that you're on. Yeah.
There's little gaps.
Yeah, there's probably little gaps. Because, I mean, when you see down below earlier in the series, like a few episodes ago, it did seem like it would come and then stop and then come again. Like it wasn't a very long gap.
Yeah. I love Patrick's complete not okay with this situation.
It almost hit me.
Buddy, that was the least of your problems. I have a problem with a trash chute. We'll get to it later. And I think you do too.
Yes.
The breaking the lock, Juliet breaking the lock instead of Danny opening it thing is
so Juliet.
It's funny, but it is an overused trope also.
It's true, but it worked. It worked for me. Yeah.
It worked because we like Juliet.
True.
Sometimes that's the difference between used trope landing and not landing is whether or not they made us like the characters enough.
And even if whether or not we like the show, like if we didn't like the show, we would just use that as a reason to nitpick it, you know, like in a bad way.
The signal checking on all the screens, they just have to start linking the screens as much as they can, you know?
Yep. Good plan. I thought was a good plan. I don't understand why it didn't work.
Or did it? I don't understand what happened.
All the screens in janitorial saw it.
Yeah.
Even so much so that Bernard's screaming, you will unsee what you've just seen.
Turn around and close your eyes, including Sims.
It doesn't look like anybody in the actual silo saw it. Like they're just walking around like normal afterwards.
Yeah. That was just a convenient way of, I don't know, I didn't like that.
I didn't like it either. I thought that was a little ticky-tack.
Yeah. They weren't prepared to really deal with the storytelling consequences of making a portion or all of the silo seasons, which would be fucking riots.
Yeah, of course. But they did want to have that scene where we know that Bernard knows what's going on, but nobody else does, not even Sims. Like, they wanted us to have that information, and that was the only way they could think of to do it.
This is true. Cool scene though.
I liked
Cool
it.
scene
Yeah,
of
it was
Burnett
a cool scene.
just freaking out, freaking out. I didn't think she was trying to hack every screen, but it definitely should have gone beyond just janitorial, beyond that Ozymandias room.
Yeah, when she pitched the idea to Danny in the beginning of the episode, she said every screen in the silo. Can I hack into every? Can I show this on every screen in the silo? That's what she said. So like, that's what I was expecting. It even if it wasn't like the sensor screens and all the like cafeterias, but like on everybody's computer screen. Like, so if anybody was on the computer at that time, they would have seen it. That's what I thought she was trying to do. And maybe that's what she thought she was trying to do, but Danny didn't pull that off.
Now let's talk about what happened in the trash.
I get that they were trying to have some kind of tense action scene, but I don't like it at all. Like, there's too much plot armor around these characters. Like, all that shit's coming down the trash chute. Nobody gets hit. Like, the worst that anybody gets hit is Juliet's bag gets hit. And she's not even covering her head, which, of course, you'd be covering your head. That's the first thing instinct would tell you to do. And then later, when they decide to push down the air conditioning vent, which I thought was a fun escalation, she just, like, yeets several floors down onto a pile of metal rubble. There's no way she lived through that. That's an instant death sentence. And that she would, like, she got knocked unconscious and she got pulled away just in time so that that big old air conditioner unit wouldn't hit her. That, none of that makes sense to me. Like, that every step of that is fucked.
That was very anime though.
It was. Yeah, true.
They did show in the flashback episode that they put a big like cushion underneath the chute.
Yeah, but when there's the still a whole down. Pile of metal trash that they've already 100%. Like they were just throwing down, and it was all heavy and
we can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way that's not gonna break your fall. That's gonna make your fall worse.
Yes. Yeah. that was pretty funny. It's a little leap of faith.
I mean, metaphor. I get it, but also there's 144 floors and they were on like 126, so that's 18 floors. God, math.
Yeah. Still a long way to jump, a long way to go.
I mean, if there had been like a little crate full of hay, I would have bought it. It would have been perfectly fine.
Assassin's Creed rules. Let's talk about Billings a little bit.
What an idiot.
Quickly becoming my least favorite character of this show. What the fuck is happening with Billings? So, knowing that this is two books divided into... Sorry, a book divided into two seasons. I wonder if most things with Billings happened in the second half of the books. And what we're getting is like character introduction for Billings stretch a bit too thin while he wait for the events of the second season.
That makes sense.
Where he'll probably have a major role as the sheriff in the second season, aka second half of the book, right? Because, he'll be the sheriff of the silo and have this history with Juliet. But maybe he didn't actually have that much to do in the first half of the book. I feel like
his character is frustrating because every time he tries to use his own agency, he immediately goes back on it. Like, he searches Juliet's apartment and then immediately, like, just backs down when Sims confronts him about it. You know, he agrees to arrest Sims, but then immediately goes back on it again when Sims, confronts him about it yet again. Like, he's a weasel. Like, he thinks he's noble and good and following these ideals, but he's just a weasel. And I don't like him. And I don't like characters that can't use their own agency. That really bugs me about a character.
Well, character, not only they can't use their own agency, but like if the point of the character is they can't use their own agency, then it's fine. Let's explore that, right?
Right.
But the show seems to indicate that this guy is like a stickler for the rules. And, he's in the middle. He's trying to figure out what to do. He ain't figuring out shit. He's just rolling over for everybody.
Yeah, he's basically just being led around by everyone. And in the end, he even like says, yeah, they'll make an exception for my syndrome. Like,
yeah. Yeah, so that That conclusion is what made me think, like, this is the introduction stretch. Maybe it is supposed to be that we're supposed to not really be sure what he's doing, but later with like which side he's on, and like why he seems nice but also seem to be on judicial side, and maybe the reveal is supposed to be that judicial have this on him. That maybe that's like, I don't know, I have to read the book, but no, I don't like Billings, how he is in the show, not at all. A friend of me who also listened to the show, shout out to Josh, pointed out, why didn't he even fucking question why it seems out of the jail?
Because, yeah, I feel like there was a scene missing. Like, it was in the last episode, two episodes ago, when when Billings helps arrest Juliet, and they're like walking up the stairs and stuff. Like, at that point, he should have been like, wait, what? like how is Sims out of jail? Like, what's going on here? Why am I doing this? Why am I arresting her? Why should I believe any of you people? And like, you know, he's just like, he's a company man at that point. He's just like, shut up. I believed in you. You want me to enforce the pact when you feel like it? I'm not listening to you anymore. Like, his character just doesn't work for me because of things like that.
Yeah, right. He go back and forth multiple times. I don't know. Like, the only way I justify it to myself is that I guess this is the kind of people the Silo breed deliberately, right?
Yeah, I think so. And like, I get that his character is conflicted, but it's just, it's like the burning of the book, but taking out the one page. It's like, he just never commits to anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that going to come back later? Yeah, I imagine.
It has to. Like, they're not going to leave that one hanging.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, he break the news to his wife in the worst way possible. Like, he break the news to his wife in like a written script way, which is like, a normal person would be like, hey, don't freak out. but judicial has agreed to, you leave with the good news first and then break the story, right?
You'd be of course.
Like, they found out, but I got the job. Like, we're in the clear now. Like, we don't have to live in fear anymore. We don't have to hide anymore. You lead with that. And then...
But no, he does it like he's pranking her. He walks in and he seems all sullen. And, you know, she's like, is something wrong? And he's like, well, Sims found out that I have the syndrome. and then pauses without further explanation, without any elaboration. Maybe he's just like trying to piss off his wife. Maybe that's why she's so mad all the time.
Like, he is pranking her is a great way of okay, so we have a lot of world building in this as well, like in character building, walkers, and you know, the nature of the tension between mid, top, and the people at the bottom. What did they say?
The down deep, I think, is what they called it.
Yeah. Like, the top seems to be always terrified that the down deep is on the verge of rioting, you know?
And the down deep feels like they kind of are on the verge of rioting.
And the guy who knocked on, even though I hate him for being a knock, is right.
Yeah, there's he wasn't no wrong. And even Juliet knew he was right. Yeah. Like, she didn't hold it against him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still, snitches get stitches.
Yes. Yes. You know, let's say we say snitches get stitches. You guys say snitches get stitches, right?
Yeah.
Apparently, a bunch of British people say snitches... snitches ends up in ditches,
huh?
Which also works.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, a lot stronger though, because that's ours saying imply violence. That saying implies murder. But yeah, so basically, we get scenes, a lot of character building for Walker as well. Like, I thought for a second that she's just gonna like throw a riot in it.
Yeah, it definitely felt like she was about to start some shit. Yeah. But I did really like that she was conquering her greatest fear, and it was just walking. Like, her name, Walker. I mean, she was just walking. That's all she had to do. And that was a big deal. And I really like how they played it. Like, it didn't seem too exploitative, but at the same time, like, you felt it, you know?
Yes. It's also a metaphor.
Of course.
About, you know, her room is her silo.
Yeah,
it's a absolutely. Limited environment in which she's trapped without real cause, perhaps. And it parallels the ending in which Juliet will venture out from the prison.
Right, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that. And also her plan, we'll get to that, but her plan, from her part, it makes sense. I question some of the setup, but like what she planned to get Juliet, you know, safe. What she does make sense.
Well, I mean, let's go back to that, because like I don't exactly know what you mean. So elaborate.
Okay. Well, let's just
talk about it. Please.
Yeah. People probably hasn't seen that episode. It's, your podcast lore is going way too back.
Sorry, I'm rewatching Andor at the moment. So,
okay, so let's just, we have this written out for later, but let's just talk about it. The heat tape. What she does is figure out that the heat tape is probably important. And figure out the mechanic of how they go out in the suit, and the tape, like the tape, seals the suits. And she go and talk to her ex, who's in supplies, and get her to swap out the tape. With where they establish that the tape deep down below is better, you know,
right?
It's a better sealant. The tape she makes is better.
I get it now.
Yeah,
because I didn't get that at all. Like it went over my head both times I watched the episode. I'm like, what is up with the heat tape? I didn't get it. But the way you just described it makes a lot of sense. Like, so she replaced the tape with the better heat tape. Yeah. So, okay. So maybe that's why Juliet didn't die immediately.
Yes. They make a point of that. But the thing is, they try to breadcrumb it, because this whole heat tape stealing thing has been breadcrumbed, but they didn't breadcrumb the explanation. The explanation came too late. I think the explanation should have been like spread out, maybe like beginning of last episode and this episode and stuff. The reason they got so mad is because about stealing of the heat tape is because they Barnett is worried about the tricked heat tape,
right. It's like deliberately designed to fail. Yeah,
and we get a hint of that when they argue about the heat tape, because Juliet's like, we stole it because we needed it, like your heat tape sucks anyway. and they say that again in this episode, but that was like 8 episodes ago, man. That was too long ago. We don't remember that shit. But they say it again in this episode when they talk to the supply, but the way they deliver it is a little bit stunted, because they're like, is this about Juliet? And she's like, is she going out to clean? Is it about the heat tape? I'm like, no, of course it's not about the fucking heat tape. What a weird question.
It does seem out of left field. Yeah, it makes sense for the exposition, but it doesn't make sense for the
character. For the character, yeah. Also, everybody know about this heat tape stuff, but they do say it again in that like they try to spell it out. It's just a little bit confusing because we don't know who this lady is. she also said like, oh, why are they still mad about that? Your heat tape is still way better. And Walker straight up said yes, that which makes me think, maybe that's the point, like something along that line. Like, I'm paraphrasing a lot there, but like,
she does say like a really infuriating Lost style line where it doesn't make sense unless it does. I didn't like that line at all.
Yeah. So that's, I also don't buy like how she suddenly figured this out now.
Well, I mean, it's definitely like Juliet said something to Walker that we didn't hear, like that was not, we were not privy to that conversation, and whatever it was is what inspired her to go talk to the lady in supply. So I don't know if she like just figured it out, but she just figured it out because Juliet gave her the information she needed to figure it out.
Yeah, but I don't, but Juliet didn't know about the heat tape thing either. Like, whatever Juliet said is just incidental to sparking it.
Well, I mean, like, it, why did Juliet actually steal the heat tape? Did she do it because she needed heat tape, or did she do it because George wanted her to do it to test their heat tape?
I don't think George knows shit about the walk. I think that was, and also I think that's pre-George. I think she stole the heat tape because they were running out of heat tape, and Bernard is big mad because he's worried that she will find out about the tricked heat tape. And also, let's just address the little confusion as well. The little tray they carry out is a little bit confusing.
It says wool sensor tape,
No, it's two different things. Wool sensor cloth and tape.
Okay. That like, makes sense.
The tapes are the thing. The wool sensors are the little cloth they put it, they tuck and put it in the pocket to that she mic drop at the end of the episode. And we see the tapes being switched around by the supply ladies. Like they didn't use the, they do a cowboy switch. They didn't use the tape that got brought up. They use their own supply tape. That's why it's better.
Okay. Like, yeah, I just, for whatever reason, all that went over my head when I watched it both times. Because even the second time I was like, how does this make sense? How does this make sense? And it never occurred to me. So thank you. I had a brain aneurysm or something.
But yeah, to further clarify for listeners, a lot of people seem to be confused about this when I've been reading their fan chatters on their subreddits and stuff. The exact thing you're confused about. And a little furthermore, the significance of the heat tape is because the back heat tape is clearly porous and is not sealing the environmental suit that they put these people in properly. So as we leave the silo, that's where all the mysteries come to roost, right?
Right.
Actually, it's, I kind of think it's funny that we've never thought of it before, that we actually floated the idea that there is a recording that plays in the helmet on the screen.
We did talk about it very briefly because you had noticed that the birds were in the exact same configuration, and I'd been like, are you sure? Are you right? Because I didn't think it was. But
ever since the first episode, I was like, that's the exact same video.
Yeah, and I didn't key in on that. So yeah.
But we should have thought about it. It's like, it can't be a static video, right? Like, because it has to be like AR, because otherwise, how will it track the head movements and stuff?
Oh, yeah, good point.
Like, we didn't really think about it. And that's what it was. Like, it was like a pretty advanced AR, but they cheaped out. They didn't animate past that hill.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and like so, at the same time that she reached the crest of the hill and it like glitched out on her, like that was exactly the same time that Bernard was shutting down the server or something. Like, what was that about?
I think the server room is just like the janitorial closet. I don't think that's what it really is. I think he's gone out to warn the other silos.
Oh, see, that would make a lot of sense.
Okay. He used number 18 key to unlock that door. Right.
Yeah. I think that's how he communicates with the other silos. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as, and I think the light that is flashing before was, I think the other side, like it's just a notification, like alert, you know, the other silos need his attention, you know, like they want to talk to him.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Wow, you were thinking more than I was. I was sitting here thinking a server room was a server room. How foolish of me.
Yeah. And also this, the thing I don't buy the most is this clean the lens thing.
Like, I understand the idea, and I get the idea, and I get that they were really, really trying to make it make sense, but at the same time, like, that everybody would clean it because they think the world looks beautiful. I don't buy it. I definitely don't buy that Juliet would have just dropped the wool and not like done anything else. Like, you can see her face and nobody tries to communicate with the lens. Like, I don't buy any of
that's
that.
That's the thing. If they care enough about the world being beautiful, like
they would say
clean
that.
The lens, they would like write something on the lens using dirt, or at least like mouth something.
Right.
The message for people who are supposed to be viewing. Like, I don't. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's a little bit like.
And also like the cognitive dissonance to believe that what you're seeing out of the cafeteria windows is only looks dismal and apocalyptic because the lens isn't clean. That's obviously not true. Like,
yeah, right. Right, exactly. Like the thing you would immediately realize is like, oh, that the display, what we usually see is a lie. Why would you clean the lens? Like you were trying to pass on a message.
Right.
Yeah. So Juliet, she just bought herself time. Like she's going to leave. Like she's going to die. Right? Like she has to find a solution. Like,
unless she finds whatever, a way into another silo or something. Yeah. She's doomed.
Yeah. Even if that heat tape is perfect and it's perfectly sealed,
yeah, the environmental suit. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. She's gonna have to go into another silo. She's not gonna make it to that. Like that little oxygen tank on her back only carry her.
Yeah, she's not gonna even make it all the way to that ruined city in the background. Yeah.
No. And a lot of people seem to think that's Atlanta. I don't know enough about American geography to know.
I didn't study it, but yeah, I mean they probably filmed a lot of this in Georgia anyway, so.
Right. And people said like the Georgia book and it being Atlanta should add up.
That makes sense.
Maybe. I don't know. Like books can travel.
I don't know. It could be any city as far as I know. Like, yeah.
Doesn't even have to be Australia to be America. It could be Australia.
What? No, it's America. It's always America. What are you talking about? There are no other countries in TV.
I have a feeling she's just going to go into another silo.
Probably, yeah.
And you asked, will we follow Juliet next season? I think she might disappear for like one or two episodes, but I don't, like, she's too big a name, too much of a main character, and Billing's not good enough to replace her. I think we'll see her before long.
I think what it'll be is that she'll have her own storyline going for a little while, and we'll be following other characters in the silo. Like, she's still the main character, like, but I mean, they might do a thing at the beginning of the next season, like they did at the beginning of this season, where she doesn't even show up for two episodes. So yeah, that's my inclination, but it's not just Billings. We're not just going to be following Billings. We've also got like Shirley in the Down Deep, who was, you know, obviously a would-be Flamekeeper. Walker, Lucas in the Mines, and maybe he'll be there with Patrick and Danny. That'd be fun. Who else? There's other characters we could be following for sure. Yeah.
And even, there's no lights in the mine, so it's going to be hard to see.
Oh, good point. Yeah. and we've also got to know what Bernard's going to do with that hard drive. I know it's a little further down on the list, but like, let's talk about that, because it's obvious when he breaks the hard drive, he's hitting it on the sides. He's trying not to damage the actual drive itself. The disk. And then when he like pulls apart the drive and he pulls out the disc, it really looks like he's looking to see if he can repair it or at least use it, because his curiosity was piqued when Juliet mentioned the door, because he clearly didn't know about it. He was as surprised as she was. So
yes, yeah, I think that was supposed to be him being surprised. I have a theory about that. I think that door connects to other silos. Like, I think there is another way into other silos. And also,
I said that like 8 episodes ago.
This is true. And the another thing, we made fun of that George's recording.
Yeah.
About just saying, like, turned out you don't have to worry about the water after all. Maybe it is like a hologram. We now know they have AR technology. Maybe it's like a hologram. Maybe if she touched it, it was never there.
Well, I know, but she didn't really have anything on her face or in her eyes or anything.
No. But like, it could just be like a projection,
like an actual hologram. Like,
yeah.
Maybe.
Like, obviously, they have more advanced technology than we think.
That would make his line make more sense. And we don't know what year this is taking place. This could be in the distant future for all we know. Yeah.
And it will make even more sense, because he would not have the vocabulary to say hologram or no other way of describing
it. Not a word he would know. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, like, I feel like he could have made you don't have to worry about it, the water's fake. You know, he could have said something.
Something like that. Yeah.
Make it a little bit more believable.
I'll buy that.
Did you have any point about the magnification?
I just wanted to bring it up again because I feel like that's a dangling big question. And I hope it doesn't go the way of the whispers from Lost, that it's just like a mystery that doesn't have an answer. And when they do finally answer it, it's just kind of like a throwaway answer that makes no sense. Do you have any thoughts on the magnification? Do you have any like theories about what it could be about, other than the nanobots that we talked about before?
I think they just don't want them to figure out lenses, you know? Maybe it's nanobots. But yeah, no, I don't really have any more new theories other than that. So let's wrap it up and talking about these multiple silo things.
Yeah.
And what it could mean going forward. First of all, I think those silos are a bit too close together. And yeah. There's no reason for them to be that close together unless they are meant to be interconnected in some way, unless they're meant to be traversed from, or at least like, I have a theory. I think the big door at the downstairs is to move resources from one silo to the other.
Sure. Yeah, I'll buy that. But
I think so.
It can't be something that's done very often, or else, you know, George and Juliet would have seen it happen.
No, because not a lot of people go down into that mining room area, the big hole in the ground, right?
Right.
My theory is there is different classes of silos. I think there are worker silos and more leisurely silos. And I think some silos are working harder to keep other silos in luxury. Because there is a line in episode 4 that says we're creating enough energy to run this thing 3 times over.
Oh, you're right. That was a line. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And not only is that a line, it would explain why Bernard was so pissed about it being shut down for 8 hours. Without his permission, of course, because they didn't know they needed to ask the IT guy for permission.
Right.
it would explain if the power being shut down affected other silos, which is going to get on his ass. That would explain why he was so pissed.
Yeah, it would. It would definitely work out. And like, we could see the repercussions of that in other silos if we do actually visit other silos.
Yeah. I don't know if they like growing enough food for them or not. Maybe there's a different silo that's growing too much food and is actually being shuffled towards it.
Well, it's possible. This silo is probably generating, other than just energy, is also like mining materials. Because, I mean, they have mines. We haven't seen them yet, but they have them.
Yeah, this is true. And my question is, how far did the rebellion spread? Was it only in this silo, which I'm going to call silo 18 now, because I pretty much have accepted
it's silo 18. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it didn't even start in silo 18. Maybe some people actually came through that door and started the rebellion down there.
Maybe. I have a different theory. My theory is that other silos know about other silos.
Probably.
Silo 18 has been cut off because of the rebellion. And I don't think the rebellion is climb up, like they said. I think it was a climb down to the door at the bottom that they have hidden.
Maybe. That's a good theory. I like it. Yeah, I'll buy that.
And then a new pact was formed in which you keep it a secret from your workers, like that you guys are working for, you know. Right. Or maybe the deception about it being separate was always there. It doesn't matter. But I think the rebellion is in silos 18 and silo 18 alone.
Yeah, it could be that like somebody from the up top learned about the door that wasn't supposed to know about the door and sparked a rebellion from the top down instead of the bottom up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like just making a run for the door.
Yeah.
I'd buy that. Yeah.
Do you have any other thing to say about the silos and the reveal and any theory?
Honestly, I think we've covered it all. I really liked the reveal. It was giving you enough information without it being like frustrating. Like I wasn't frustrated by the lack of answers. I was actually satisfied with the answers they give and how they teased more questions. I actually thought it was very well done, and that's hard to pull off.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I think the one thing I worry about is not necessarily answers, but what does this mean for the scope of the show? Like, I think there is a way for them to go too wide and start covering too many events across too many silos and lost the almost claustrophobic charm of the first season. But there's also the problem of not telling us enough about what other silos mean, that is unsatisfying. So I think they need to walk a fine line, you know.
No, I think
a reveal like that.
I think what they're going to do is Juliet's going to go to another silo, and we're going to see that silo from her point of view, but we're not really going to be introduced to too much of what's actually going on within that other silo. We're still going to be focused almost entirely on silo 18 and the people in it, because they've set way too many different plot threads in motion to just abandon it or to relegate it to the background. So I think Juliet will go out. She'll be she'll visit another silo, but then she'll come back to Silo 18. And I still think most of the story will be Silo 18.
Yeah,
at least that's what I hope.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. Well, either way, I'm very excited about the next season. And I know I say this after every kind of new sci-fi show based on books, but I'm seriously thinking about reading the books.
You haven't read Foundation yet. Season 2 starts in like a week and a half.
This is true. This is true. But actually, like, Foundation, maybe it is a good idea for me not to read it. So we keep the dynamic of our podcast.
Yeah, it was a really good dynamic. Maybe that's a good reason why I can't read Sandman. Yeah, yeah. I'll keep that in mind.
That's true. Anyway, just a quick reminder to the listeners, if you skip the top half, we're doing a live stream at... What did you say?
6:30 Eastern time in the in the America PM. That's at night. So yeah, Friday night.
Yes,
we're going to talk about Foundation. The return of cracking Foundation. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. We're going to talk about Foundation. We're going to recap. We're going to do some listener questions, and we're just going to talk about everything we know so far and just essentially hype ourselves up.
Yeah. Woohoo! Get excited.
So look forward to that. And until next time, this has been The Streaming Heat. And I have been Lynn.
And I have been Eric. And life is but a stream.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Oh, we got up to shenanigans. We would do shit like, you know, like how you guys do flaming poop bags.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we do a variation of that where, like, we take like a coconut half, and like we will put dog poop on somebody's porch, stick a massive firecracker in it, light it, put the thingy on top, knock the door, and run away. And then if we time it right,
just right,
as soon as they open the door,
it's pretty good. I like it.
Pretty fun. A lot more destructive than a flaming poop bag. Because even if they don't answer the door in time, like, that front door is getting splattered in poop.
Down with Britain.